This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together. Hi, and welcome to another edition of Nation Talk. On today's show, we are coming to you from the APAC Inaugural Summit and Networking Reception. APAC is the Aboriginal Professional Association of Canada, and today's theme is Stepping Stones of Success. And here today with us on the show is John Kimbell, Aboriginal Advisor for Hatch. John Kimbell is one of the most decorated Aboriginal people in Canada. Mr. Bell was born on the Ganawake Mohawk Reserve on the south shore of Montreal. He began playing the piano on television at the age of 10 and conducting on Broadway in New York at the age of 18 for stars like Gene Kelly, Vincent Price, Sonny Bono, and Lauren Bacall. He toured as a conductor for the Bee Gees and Red Fox, among others, and was appointed apprentice conductor of the Toronto Symphony in 1980, making him the first person of Aboriginal heritage to become a symphonic conductor. He has conducted many orchestras in Canada, some in the U.S., and the Royal Philharmonic in the U.K. He has composed music for film and television, including PBS's The Trial of Standing Bear and CTV's Divided Loyalties, which at the time was the most expensive made-for-television movie in Canada. He is the founder of the Canadian Native Arts Foundation, National Aboriginal Achievement Foundation, and the National Aboriginal Achievement Award. Over a period of 20 years, John Kimbell built the foundation into Canada's largest Aboriginal charity and developed the highest level of private sector support for any Aboriginal cause in Canada. He has produced many concerts across Canada featuring movie and Broadway stars such as Bernadette Peters, Manhattan Transfer, and produced and composed the first full-scale Aboriginal dance production, In the Land of Spirits, which premiered in the National Arts Centre in 1988. Spirits enjoyed a national tour across Canada in 1992, with Mrs. Mila Mulroney serving as the honorary chair. But today, John Kimbell is the president and CEO of Bell & Bernard Limited, a firm that specializes in First Nations corporate government relations. He has a passion for education, and he's here to share some of his wonderful experiences with us. John, thank you so much for being here today on Nation Talk.
Thanks, Andre. That was quite a soliloquy you did there.
Well, I just wanted to thank you. I did it all in one breath.
Yes, that's excellent.
Now, John, you are, besides being the president and CEO of Bell & Bernard Limited, you're also working as a senior Aboriginal advisor at Hatch Energy. Can you tell us a bit about what Hatch Energy is and what your new role is?
Well, Hatch Energy is a global engineering and environmental services company operating in about 150 countries with 11,000 employees. And I'm the only Aboriginal executive leading the Aboriginal Affairs for Hatch, which is something that I was appointed to very recently. In Canada, in the last 10 years, we've seen the laws change in the country to where First Nations now have quite a bit of leverage over any kind of resource development, oil, gas, mining, hydroelectric, wind farms, solar, roads, transmission lines, anything that's going to be built usually impacts and affects First Nations. As a result, they have much greater leverage and negotiating power, which is a great thing. Our people now are getting economic benefits from these, employment from all these major projects, where 50 years ago we would have been overlooked entirely. So companies all across Canada and foreign companies who want to work in Canada have to develop much better and stronger relationships with First Nations communities and Métis peoples as well. And so my role is to negotiate on behalf of Hatch with First Nations to ensure that First Nations receive economic benefits on all of these development projects, whether it's roads or hospitals, transmission lines, mining, solar energy, hydroelectric energy. And this is my role, is to make sure that First Nations are fairly treated and to ensure that Hatch has a shot at working with First Nations on these major projects.
Now, over the course of your, you know, your extensive career, you've had dealings in business in so many different ways. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you brought your past business experience, combining creativity as well, to the fore with this company?
because I raised so much corporate money in my past life working for a charity, the National Aboriginal Achievement Foundation, I developed relationships with many of the major resource companies across Canada. And, of course, equally because we were giving out scholarships and running career fairs, I had extensive networks in the First Nations community across the country. And I had a sense of what was going on. So from time to time, a company would call me up and saying, we're having an issue or a problem, and we're a donor to the National Aboriginal Achievement Foundation. Do you think you could help us resolve this issue or problem? And so I would sort of do this on a volunteer basis, and that led eventually to me naturally falling into the world of consulting and representing companies when they do have issues with First Nations and then trying to find a resolution. So I came by this kind of in a natural way from reaching out to corporations and fundraising all those years. In terms of the creative part, when I decided I wanted to get into this business, I had to come up with why would anybody hire me? And I studied the issue of energy here in Ontario, and Ontario was planning its energy plan for the next 30 years, and the public was able to register and have a comment on what Ontario should be doing. Should we be developing more nuclear power? Should it be all solar? How much wind? How much hydroelectric? And I convinced Phil Fontaine, the national chief at the time, that he should register. And he then appointed me to do the work on what is it that First Nations want out of Ontario's energy planning process. Well, everybody else, there were 11 Aboriginal interveners, and everyone else thought that the issue was the duty to consult, that whatever Ontario decided to do in producing energy, that they would have to consult and accommodate Aboriginal communities. I felt, well, that isn't right, because we already have the law, the duty to consult. They're already obliged to consult and accommodate. So we already have that. We shouldn't be asking for that. Instead, I thought very practically, don't we want to have economic benefit from the owning and operating of power plants, of electricity? So I looked at what are the impediments, and of course, First Nations lack capital. And I looked at what other countries do and what countries do for special corporations in a special deal, and they provide loan guarantees. So I creatively went forward and said, I think the real issue, one of the practical things we could ask for, is a loan guarantee program. And after about a year and a half, I convinced the government to implement the Ontario Aboriginal Loan Guarantee Program. So if you're a First Nations and you don't have any money and a company says, look, here's a $500 million project, you want to invest in it, the First Nation can get a loan guarantee, which means the bank will give them the money because the government guarantees the loan, and they can buy $50 million of equity in a project, whereas before most of us couldn't. So this is a breakthrough. It's a significant amount of money, $250 million for our community. We mostly exist as nonprofit organizations on hundreds of thousands of dollars. So to be able to have this kind of play, this opportunity, is a kickstart to our First Nations economy here in Ontario.
Are you currently working with any First Nations on such a project in Ontario now?
As you may know, I do work not just for Hatch, but I'm the leader of Aboriginal Affairs for Brookfield, the largest private producer of hydroelectricity and wind farms in Canada. And I have a number of projects right across the country with First Nations, such as the hydroelectric project with the Nungis First Nation. And I'm on the board of directors there called Quaggas Power, and we're building a 40-megawatt hydroelectric project that the community is owning and operating jointly with Brookfield. There is a huge project with three First Nations in Saskatchewan called the James Smith First Nation, Chakas Tepasin and Peter Chapman Band, and that's a 250-megawatt. That's a capital cost of $1.5 billion. So those are very huge numbers. And in northern Ontario, there's a small hydro project, 3 megawatts, which is very tiny, but that involves Lac Seul, Wabascang, and Grassy Narrows. So those are some of the things I'm working on now.
John Gambill, I just want to say chi-miigwech to you, and thank you so much for being with us here today on Nation Talk to discuss these very timely and important issues.
Thank you.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.